With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Vanacek towards the net. Knocked down. Trocheck. Score! He scores! Vincent Trocheck wins game two. It's double overtime.
I mean, this feeling is pretty cool.
He just keeps answering the bell with it.
Undefeated in the postseason. There's almost this inevitability. Trailing one. Oh, wrench from the power play. They're going to get one here. And that's exactly what they've been able to do.
Ryder scores! Power play goal.
It never feels like they're out of the game.
And the Rangers have a two-game lead against the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference semifinals.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7. We are the people we've been waiting
for. Rangers up two games to none. Knicks up one game to none. And it switches back to the Knicks tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment. How about, and RJ, I don't even know that you're privy to this. We had a very warm and welcoming text exchange with the great Kenny Albert yesterday.
I heard. I don't actually know the message, but I heard there was a message.
So I didn't even remember, to be honest with you, but he's so good and so talented. We spoke glowingly about Kenny on the show yesterday, and we received a joint text of how much he enjoys the show and how much he appreciates the kind words, and he looks forward to seeing us both soon.
Kenny Albert here. I wrote a book. Look at me. Don's in the forward. Look at that.
Stop it. Why do you have to go there? I was trying to be nice.
Speaking of Don, did you hear that there's some talk and chatter on that show that Don and Peter want to take us on at pickleball?
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
I don't think they watched the video.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Okay.
Peter said no chance, K. And it wasn't schedule related. It was just they didn't think he was. They think he's a liability. So
he would probably be Amani's level. I would agree.
They pushed out K, and then I guess Don's gonna said he's willing to blow out the knees if he has to.
Okay. Well, here's what I'll say. Open invitation. Whenever they're ready, let's go.
Wow.
No.
Nah, this is not usually how we handle our business, though. I don't think we talk the way you just talked.
What did I say? I said open invitation. When they're ready, let's go. I didn't. RJ, what did I say that was so wrong?
I think it's just the tone of your voice.
It's my tone?
Yeah.
So if I said, okay, so we'll play when they're ready to play.
Why do you have to high pitch it like
that? That would be different. I would look at it
different. British, too. You sound like Peppa Pig.
All right, so we'd like to throw down the gauntlet when you guys are ready. We'd love to play.
What's Peppa Pig?
What's Peppa Pig? Well, he has no kids.
It's Tyrese Halliburton right now.
I mean, you just sounded the dismissive nature of your voice. Like if I were talking to Rick, and I'd be like, you know what? I bet you I could score a couple of times on you if we took 10 penalties. He'd be like, okay. Like, that's kind of what it would sound like. That's how you sounded just now.
Well, I feel very confident.
It's probably the gold medal he's wearing on his neck again.
I feel like we would win.
The man hasn't taken the medal off.
Well, why would I?
Why would I really? I like that you haven't. It's a big deal.
So they think they would beat us? I didn't hear it.
I think there's been some talk around the station now because it was such a good event that pickleball.
Who's next?
Pickleball America loved it, and they wanted to know who at the station would be next, and I think they had talked about it. And I guess Peter and Don want to take us on.
Okay. Well, I don't know how to say it that it won't be judged by you guys, but open invitation, love to play them, and whenever they're ready, we're ready. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that was better.
Was that nasty?
No, better.
You need it higher pitched?
No, I think
you need it lower?
I think your regular voice was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're ready. When they're ready, we'll play them and we'll battle them.
That's a little overconfident.
Too gravelly?
Yeah, too gravelly.
James Earl Jones-ish?
A little bit. I like regular day voice.
Okay.
And then when you celebrate, you can get to that high pitch that we did, the little penguin thing we did.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great.
Oh, what a treat that was. Let's go to Peter in Manhattan. Peter's on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just a few comments. Number one, I believe in the last minute and a half, there were two chances for Carolina to score, not one. So, you know, that was a tough one. But anyway, my two other comments. I've been following the Rangers since 1969. Never easy to be a Ranger fan. So two comments, and I agree with you. Even if they win the series, you know, the remaining teams are going to be tough. So the Rangers are going to have a tough series going on. But the other thing is I've always worried about the Rangers. I mean, they have won Stanley Cup since I've been alive. You know, I look back to last year, the year before. They were up 2-0 in both series against New Jersey and against Tampa. Game three, they were ahead in both games. Get penalties, they lose both series. So until the Rangers win, it worries me.
Well,
so
no, that's no, Peter, no one is celebrating anything. We're just sitting here saying we're up 2-0 and we're in a good situation. Oh,
yeah.
And Rick mentioned it earlier.
The goaltending is super.
You have a different coach this year, and your special teams are just better than them right now.
Exactly. The goalie is like incredible. Listen, they've killed 10 penalties, which is incredible, too. So, but again, look, I'm excited. I think they win. Now, with the Knicks, I'm a little less excited about it. I mean, there's some injuries. I think Boston's going to be tough. But anyway, you know, great time to be a Knicks and Rangers fan. And I thank you for taking my call, and you have a nice day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What a pleasant gentleman that was.
Very
that was
pleasant.
Nice.
Yeah, it was actually three chances there at the end of the third period.
And I got to see none of them. It was nice. It was great.
It was great for you. I think everyone recognizes how fine the line is in the playoffs.
In every playoff.
From being in full control of a series to all of a sudden now be, or full control of a game.
Yes.
How quickly that can change.
Very infrequently do you have like Minnesota or Boston where it's like, all right, you know what? Halftime, these games are done. Like that's not the norm. That's the exception to the rule.
Now, Boston is just, I mean, but Boston's been on a different level. The Celtics have been on a different level than everyone else in the East for the
Whole season.
The whole season.
I mean,
anyway.
Forget about the East. Everyone else in the entire NBA all season.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time for them. Yeah, Cleveland's not going to do anything in that series.
Oh, God. I mean, that could have the least juice of any series in the postseason right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a there's no NHL series that has less juice than that. And there's no, depending on what happens in this Game 3, Denver-Minnesota, I can't imagine Denver's going to lay down.
They may not lay down. They just may be facing a team that's better than them, though.
Though Minnesota's defense is
stifling.
Wow.
Andy,
you got Jamal Murray throwing heat packs on the court.
And what did he get fined? $100,000?
$100,000.
That'll teach him.
Probably not.
No. Andy in Rockland. Hi, Andy.
What's going on, gentlemen? First off, huge Ranger fan since I was a kid, so 94, and this is just electric. Just 2 points that I wanted to bring up. One, when it comes to Trocheck, how do you feel in terms of, like, the vibe in which he gets? And how is it, from, like, Rick's perspective, how is it that Trocheck is able to kind of drive, like, goalies nuts to be able to get in there, grind it out, and just kind of score these huge goals? And then two, worrisome, is that face-off. The Rangers lost most of their face-offs yesterday, especially Trocheck. What is it that you see that Carolina's got an edge for the face-offs? Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, I mean, Trocheck had a bad day. I mean, game one, Trocheck was good in the face-off circle, and then game two, he wasn't. I mean, timing could be off. Yeah, but I wouldn't say that's at the top of my list of things I worry about. I mean, them losing face-offs, I mean, and all of a sudden Carolina, you know, establishes, you know, puck possession in the offensive zone, or they're really good at getting pucks through from, you know, defensively. Their defense get pucks through, which is, I mean, we were saying this earlier in the show, if, you know, the best way to score on a goalie that's playing as well as Igor is, you know, get shots through with traffic, deflections, broken plays. That's how you're going
to
score on him.
It feels like it's the only way to score on him now.
Yeah, that or when you had, I mean, the third goal, the backdoor kind of one time.
Well, that's right. But that's a goal he has no chance on. Like,
he was actually over in time.
He has a chance, he's going to stop, it feels like.
Right, and he was actually over in time for that. That puck actually beat him to the ice. Yeah, his game is at this is as locked in as I've seen him. It's the way he's reading plays, the way he's moving. The amount of pucks that are hitting him in the chest, which, yeah, that's a sign of a goalie that's playing really well. Yeah, he's been great.
He's been phenomenal. Let's go to Paul in Marlboro. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. I worked in the city. I come in early in the morning, had an early morning meeting yesterday, and then, of course, I wound up going to the Granger game last night. I said to folks during the game, if we win, it's worth it, but if not, you feel agony. And during the second overtime, I was suffering. But we won.
So when
I'm
you say
thrilled.
You're suffering, you were super tired during the second overtime?
I think what happens is when they're resurfacing the ice, you stop. Your adrenaline slows down. I'm like sitting in my seat. You obviously can't get to, there are only a few food choices and all that left. And then, it took a while to get me going. Now, once there was action, I was obviously back into it some of the time, standing, cheering and so on. So, you're thrilled. You love it. And you live for this. And then, of course, I wake up usually 4-something in the morning to drive in. And, oh, my goodness. But I love it.
What time did you get home last night? You must have got at home 1 o'clock?
Exactly. I got home just after 1. There was a lot of traffic getting out the Lincoln Tunnel yesterday. I don't think it was just the Ranger traffic. There was probably an accident or some other extra delay because it took longer than usual. But, I got home after 1. And that's fine, though. I'll do it for the Rangers again every day. Let's keep this going.
There you go. Thank you for that. He must be, Santiago feeling like that this morning.
Well, can you imagine if you lost? I mean, you lost.
It'd be awful. If we lost and I had to come to the show, you probably wouldn't want to talk to me.
I got a nasty email. Ryan B.
Okay.
Not directed at anyone specifically. No one cares how long you've been a fan. New Yorkers are so stupid with the need to tell us all how long they've been a fan. Just make your dumb comment and hang up. Go Canes, go Pacers.
Ah, okay.
I just want to let you, people want to let you know how long they've suffered.
All we needed was that last part. That's all we needed.
Right. Go Canes, go Pacers. So really, Ryan is living in a world of misery right now.
Can't feel great.
No.
No, he's one of the ones that, that call. You stay up late. Right, he doesn't get home till past 1, has to be up at 4:30 to get to work.
Oh.
But at least he's got the joy, the adrenaline of a big win.
Those are rough when you're
a Canes fan waking up for work this morning. I mean, do you get out of bed?
I don't know how you slog through the day.
Slogging.
What percentage of like successful work do you think you're getting done today?
As a Canes fan?
Yeah.
Limited.
30%?
Maybe.
20%?
Extra long lunch.
Long lunch, sit there, stare at the computer screen, right? Do some typing.
Yeah, like fake busy.
Right.
Fake busy.
Right, pick up the, a meeting. Okay, so I'll see you there.
Probably fully invested in whatever kind of chat I have going on with my fellow, Canes buddies. This is the things that we're going to have to fix. This call sucked. I can't believe they did this. All that stuff. I'm not focused on work. No way.
No, not at all. But the thing that does make it difficult for our work is when you have a 9-to-5 job, you can hide. Right, if you're a Canes fan, you don't have to discuss it. You don't have to be deeply entrenched in it. When you do what we do, you have no choice. Like this is what we do.
Yeah, right. And there's no way John is buying. Hey, I don't feel great. I can't come to work.
We never do that though.
No, I'm saying not. But I'm just saying he's not the kind of person that would buy that either. He's like, I don't care what you feel like. You need to be here to react to what happened.
Yeah, but you make it sound as if we would ever pull that kind of shenanigans. That's not us.
Well, of course not.
We're warriors.
I know.
I mean, you had double pink eye a week or two ago, and that didn't stop you from coming into work.
I know. We have the COVID clip of you. I get it. I'm just saying. You can't, like, maybe in a different job, you call in sick today and don't feel great.
I mean, look at Raymond.
Well, Raymond is a different level of
Raymond,
warrior.
The man is a physical specimen in the way he nothing bothers him.
I don't want this to happen because it would really... I got choked up even just saying it. Raymond, if one of these teams wins a championship and you don't get a real, not fake, real championship ring, I'm going to be disgusted.
They're not going to give him a real ring.
He deserves a real ring.
Well, no. The players...
Like
the players
$60,000.
The players who actually go out and win the ring deserve the ring. Let's be clear. I'm not doing it.
No, wouldn't you deserve
it? But you should get something.
My trainers get real rings.
Sure.
People that work for the team get real rings.
But if Raymond got a beautiful replica ring, I would be okay with that.
I'd be okay with that.
Do you really think that James Dolan would be worried about the extra $50,000 for a ring for one of the great warriors over at MSG? Well, I mean, would you really?
Well, I mean, it's not about the money. It's just, are they going to spend $50,000 and
I'm
does
sure
Raymond deserve this? I mean, listen, I'm not trying to be rude, Ray. I'm really not.
But does Ray deserve the same ring as Chris Kreider? In fact, I'm a little uncomfortable comparing that I should get the same ring that Chris Kreider's getting.
No one's comparing anything to anything. The players are the ones that deserve the ring.
And for God's sakes, we've only won six games. You've got to win 10
teams.
More.
I said both teams. I didn't say one. I said both. I said either team. But I've seen organizations that have people that work doing an assortment of different things but have been there for a certain amount of time that end up getting rings because of all the hard work. I think Raymond, for as long as he's been doing this, would deserve a ring.
I haven't been doing it that long. Stop being so humble. If I get anything, I'll be grateful.
But you're doing both. This is not like you're doing an NBA team separately from that's not owned by the same person that owns the NHL team. You're doing it for the same company.
I would like to see you get your own float at the parade.
I'm actually now uncomfortable.
That would make
with all your happy. Ladies.
Yeah, could you imagine that? Who's that? Wait, Shesterkin. You have Kreider. You have Panarin. Then on the next float, it's Graves. It's Messier. It's Brian Leetch. There's a handsome
who
man
the hell is that guy
and many many beautiful women. Who's that?
You can be completely naked, do whatever you want.
Oh, no, you can't.
Would you ever go naked on the float?
That would literally be the last you'd ever see of me.
Tara Reid and her bosom popping out.
Raymond, we could design it as a stable.
Can we not?
Listen, bosoms pop, Raymond. There's really very little you can do to prevent the bosom from popping.
It would be the bosom float.
Yes.
Maybe the float.
Maybe the float is just bosoms.
That could be good, too.
Yeah. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfasts featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, waffles, all of it. Yes, you heard right. Fresh hot waffles. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We take a break. We dive into the Knicks and the injuries. And they're back at it. You don't have to wait long tonight. And we'll discuss it next on 98.7 ESPN. All right, here we go. NBA playoffs, well, as you know, they're here. And the New York Knicks are in them. It's time to hit the court with BetMGM, an authorized betting partner of the NBA. Download the BetMGM app today and make every playoff game and every vital play mean more than ever with same-game parlays, live betting options, player props, boosted odds specials, and the best daily promotions in the business. With the BetMGM app at your fingertips, you can experience the excitement of wagering on the NBA playoffs and get in on all the blue and orange action as your New York Knicks drive the lane. Find out why basketball fans love BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks. Download the app and take the king of all sports books with you wherever you go. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 years of age and older to wager and physically present in New York and New Jersey only. Gambling problem? In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, for me, was the first time that I was like, oh, no. Like, the Mitchell Robinson injury for me is a lot, Rick, because we talked about yesterday, they don't have any depth to begin with. Now your backup center is going to be out for, I mean, really for the remainder of the postseason. I mean, how do you keep these guys? I know they go out, they play 45, 47. Is that sustainable would be my question.
Well, what are you asking? For this series or just in...
Well, here's
once you potentially get past the series.
I don't think a lot of people expect them to beat whoever would be next anyhow.
Well, you mean the Celtics. Don't say whoever. You mean the Celtics.
Okay, fine. I don't.
Because
I don't,
if for some reason the Celtics lost to Cleveland, everyone would expect them to beat Cleveland.
Fair. I don't know how they get past the Celtics healthy or this version of healthy. Now you're taking away Mitchell Robinson. Forget about the Celtics. I'm not even worried about the Celtics. Can they keep it up that they can get by a series? I thought they would win pretty convincingly. Can they now win the series?
Well, yeah, I think they can still win the series. I mean, I think that in this series, Isaiah Hartenstein was going to be the better matchup anyway. I thought that Mitchell Robinson in the first series against Joel Embiid was better served to defend Joel
Embiid. Well, I agree with you, but Rick, you can't continue to lose bodies. You don't have a lot of bodies.
No, but one of the pieces that you're losing isn't kind of one of the depth pieces that we were talking about anyway that would provide some scoring. Mitchell Robinson does not provide scoring. So for all the people that want to see Precious, you're going to get a chance to see Precious now.
Right. That's no longer is he going to. It's how many minutes is he going to get, because you have to play him.
The bigger concern was where are you getting points off the bench, because you only had three of them in game one. Right? You had three in game one, and the Pacers had 46 in game
one. Which is really unbelievable.
Which is unbelievable, and you still won. But, I mean, our starters played better than their starters. This sucks. It sucks. Because of, I mean, again, one of the things that we've talked about a lot with this Knicks team is how well they rebound, especially how well they offensive. They rebound offensively. And Mitchell Robinson was a big part of that. So, I mean, you're losing that. And now it puts more pressure on Isaiah to make sure he doesn't get himself into foul trouble. Because now you're talking about if he gets into foul trouble and you're playing Precious and he potentially gets into foul trouble.
And Precious is not the same size, right? I mean, he's just not as physically big.
No, he's not as big. I mean, he's more, which maybe ends up being a good thing too because of Miles Turner's ability to.
Right, maybe he can kind of run with him on the perimeter a little bit more.
I mean, Precious is only 6'8". But he's, I mean, you saw what he did against Joel Embiid in that fourth quarter. Now, Joel Embiid was limited movement-wise because of his knee.
Right.
But, I mean, defending the perimeter, he's better than Mitch is at defending the perimeter.
But you've lost Randall, and we knew that, right? At the end of the regular season, we knew he was going to be out for the entirety of the postseason. Fine. But now you're down Bogdanovich and Mitchell Robinson? I mean, I don't know. When I heard the news, I was pretty deflated, I'll be honest with you.
I was too. But when you take a step back, I mean, Bogdanovich ends up being a bigger loss in this series because of how many points the Pacers can score. And where are you getting, like, if Josh Hart and Dante don't shoot as well or as efficient as they did in game one, or Dante goes for a couple games where he just becomes invisible, where are you getting these points from? Especially because Deuce wasn't good in game one.
It's going to have to be better. You can't get no points from your bench and win. You can't.
You know how Tibbs is going to run this rotation. Josh Hart's not going to come off the court. He's not. I mean, he's most likely going to play 48
literally,
minutes.
Josh, go on the court and just don't get in foul trouble because you're playing 48 minutes. That's a foregone conclusion. Absolutely.
Right. No, OG is going to play a majority of the minutes. Jalen, you're going to try to find spots to give a little bit of a break to. And then depending on how Dante shoots is how much he'll play. If he struggles and isn't shooting well, you'll see more Deuce. if Dante is shooting well, you're going to see probably pretty close to what you saw in game one.
We're just, you know what, starters, you're playing 44 minutes, and I'll deal with rest this offseason.
Right, because that's how important.
It's a hard recipe, though.
I know, but just think about how important it is to get those two wins at home and how close these games have been. So, I mean, even if you had some better options off the bench and you got Dante shooting the way that he's shooting and Josh, you know, doing what he does, not just, I mean, you got the 24 points and he shot, he's 9 of 13, but the, I mean, the 13 rebounds. Like, I could understand, like, how am I taking these guys off the court? These guys are playing, I mean, they're starters for the reason, for a reason, and they're playing as well as they're playing. I can't, as much as I'd like to give them rest, they're used to playing this many minutes. Now, what does that mean as we get later in the series? That's I think, the bigger question.
Well, I thought you have to think big picture. And again, I'm not looking towards a next series. That to me is not even something that's within my purview. All I'm thinking about is this series, and it's another body that's down. It's six fouls you don't have. It's another physical body. It's another guy that can rebound and block shots and defend. And you're right. I don't look at him as someone that's going to give you a lot of offense, but at least he was capable of playing, and that's ripped away from you now.
Here's the positive, though. You've already gone through this. You've dealt with it.
Yes, you have had success without Mitchell Robinson this year. That is correct.
And Precious has stepped up. So now it's his moment.
Okay.
I'm sure he wants to play. The people want to see him play, and now he's going to get an opportunity to do that. Deuce has to be better tonight. He has to. To at least, you know, make Tibbs feel comfortable knowing that he can give these other guys some rest.
Well, you're right. He's got to be better, but even if he's not, like, you have no choice. You can't only play five guys.
I know. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying, but I could easily see, if they're shooting well, the same kind of result as you saw in game one, where, you know, OG's 42 or 43 minutes, Jalen's 44, 45 minutes, Josh Hart plays the entire game, Dante ends up being out there for, you know, 40, 44 minutes, like he was in game two. It's tough to take those guys off the court because you don't really have. I mean, it's not like.
You don't have anybody.
But it's not like Rick Carlisle when he had a decision to make. TJ McConnell is balling. He's a real problem right now.
Right.
But I have Tyrese Halliburton.
No. You're gonna have to sink or swim with your guys is what's going to happen.
Because you don't have any better options. You don't.
Well, at especially this point, when you don't even really have any options.
Especially when your starters are playing as well as the Knicks starters played in that game.
See, I don't worry about Hart. Hart's going to be able to give you four. I mean, can Hartenstein give you 38, 40 minutes a game? It feels like an awful lot for him.
It feels like a lot for him. But the other guys, I don't. It hasn't hurt us yet. It hasn't hurt us yet, I guess, is my point.
You're right. But the key word you just use is yet. How long is this sustainable would be my question.
I think you ride it till it starts. I mean.
Okay. Then let's go.
Because I don't think you have another choice.
I think that you're probably right. All right, we'll break calls on the Knicks, calls on the Rangers. We have an apology coming up right after Stump Rothenberg, which comes your way at 7:45. It's D&R with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, this is nice. For the ones who get it done, Grainger, they offer high-quality supplies and solutions for every single industry. I mean, every single industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. And when you stop on by, what do you say?
Hello!
That's right.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Rick, have you seen this video that Raymond just retweeted? I didn't remember this, and then I saw it, and now I do. Of the golf cart that ran rogue at Cowboy Stadium about 15 years ago?
The golf cart that ran rogue? No.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen it at some point.
You have to watch
when,
this.
When you see it, you'll remember.
You'll remember. It's absolutely wild. The guy. I wish you hadn't said this, right? So I mean, it's actually dangerous. So a golf cart just runs rogue, and there's no one driving it. It rips into a crowd of people.
Oh.
And are you watching it?
Yeah, I'm watching it.
And then one guy, watch the one guy.
The guy gets stuck on it.
Who's stuck on it, and he hurls himself off of it.
Well, he was steering it from the passenger side, and then he's like, "This isn't. I don't like where this is going," and he dives off the side of it.
Right.
But the one guy who realizes, "Oh, the pedal is being pushed down by one of these pylons. Let me move this."
He's steering it. Then he's like, "I got to get off this thing," and he hurls himself off. He hurls himself off of it.
That thing takes out like a good six people.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm assuming no one got hurt, because there's no way someone could get seriously injured and they would be throwing this all over the internet. But the guy's steering.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure of nothing. I'm sure of absolutely nothing. Can you do me a favor, RJ? Can you tweet that out from our show account?
Yep, it's already out.
It can't be. The thing can't
the
be going that.
Steering it is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It can't be going that fast. The guy's like, "Uh oh, I got to get off this thing."
No, I love what he hurls himself off of it.
Yeah, but watch how he's steering it too.
I know, I know. He's steering it with no control whatsoever. Then he realizes, I can't worry about the next you know group of people. I got to get off this thing. By the way, no mention. No, not even a word of mention from friends. Today's my 20th anniversary. Not a word.
Well, we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, but today's the anniversary.
Oh, you wanted a happy anniversary today?
No.
Well, I mean do you want to open the show with it?
No, I thought there were other things to open the show with. I thought at some point you guys would be like, boy, today's the day, isn't it?
Are you sure we didn't have something set up with Raymond with music or something or no?
Nope, not sure of anything.
Right. So, I mean, you couldn't just wait?
Oh.
Right. Well, I mean, now
yep. I guess I feel silly.
Right, because, I mean, it is
now I
segment.
Feel like the guy who dove off the golf cart.
Right. I mean, today is a Stump Wednesday.
Right.
You don't think that maybe we put our minds together and said, you know what, maybe we highlight the anniversary during his big-time segment?
I'll tell you what. If you did, you're genius. If you didn't, you better get to work quickly.
I would err on the side of we're geniuses.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are good then.
Well, this is what happens when you work with good friends.
I mean, you got to wake up real early to get one by you guys, huh?
Oh, some of us don't sleep. I mean, Raymond hasn't slept yet, so good luck with that.
Raymond did like a 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. kind of a thing.
Barely, if he was lucky.
Poor Ray.
Yeah, but they won, so he's happy.
I know. Let's go to some of the callers. Let's go to Carl in Queens. Good morning, Carl. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey! I'm just watching this golf cart take out these people. I remember this moment. This was hilarious.
What have you seen the guy that abandoned ship at the very end?
I'm trying to figure some of these first guys that got taken out. I don't someone broke something. I don't know. No one got hurt. Someone got hurt. But hey, you guys talked about the Knicks, but I wanted to go to the Rangers. I don't know if it was only me, but I always thought they were going to pull that game out, man. Seriously, special teams on a damn roll. like Rick said, stay out the damn box. But just the two questions I really wanted to bring up. I know it was double OT, but the 50 shots on Igor, I still think they could do a better job in front of him, Rick. I know Keandre's been – I saw Keandre Miller wins all of his one-on-ones. He's amazing. And I know Igor stood on his head. I still think they could do a better job in front of him a little bit because, you know, Carolina's going to go all out now. They're going to get all their chances. But that also brings me to my second question. These aren't the Knicks and Tibbs guys with the Rangers. Are they? You think they're having talks about getting Rempe off and just bringing another body in there? We need the time on the ice. I don't. What was he on there, like a couple minutes?
I think like five minutes. Yeah, he
not
barely
even.
Played.
He played four.
Nah, he's. I mean, you know, we love him, guys, but we need the bodies.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday. I don't think they change the lineup until they lose.
Well, would you?
You know how superstitious I am.
I mean, if you're 6-0 and it's working, what would be the point of making the change now?
Well, because you feel like there's a better option.
Oh, okay, but you're winning.
I know you're winning, but could, I mean, as good as we are now, could we be better in certain situations if we added Brodzinski or if, I mean, if Hedl's really back and has the ability to play? Because right now you don't need Rempe. And it feels like the way that he got chastised last night, they're looking for a reason to put Rempe in the box.
Well, you know what? That feels unfair to me. I get it that Rempe has crossed the line and has, I believe, gotten suspensions that have been deserved. But he did nothing wrong, and he's like public enemy number one right off the jump.
Well, first of all, he's a rookie. And then the other thing is, most likely to send this thing into a place where, you know, referees and linesmen don't want to be is doing stuff like Rempe did, where he, you know, makes it his business to get in the creases, Freddie Anderson sitting there with the puck in his glove and bump him a little bit. Like, referees don't want to deal with that.
Right. But I mean, Carolina's not doing the same thing.
No, but Igor Shesterkin literally got taken out by Svechnikov. Like, literally got taken out.
Right, but Svechnikov isn't looked at as that same kind of player. Like, Svechnikov is, I mean, it was a dirty play. Like, I mean, he's going back there at the very least to slash Igor in the stick, catches his leg.
Rempe gets in Anderson's personal space, didn't even really bump him.
And remember, Rempe's a rookie, though, too.
And then, like, the ref going off and, like, literally admonishing him, pointing his finger in his face repeatedly, that was a bit much.
Yeah, but I think it speaks to kind of how he's viewed by the referees. And the last thing you want to do is have him play, you know, someone that's not really bringing much positive to the series end up being a negative by taking a stupid penalty because the referees are looking for it.
That feels unfair, though.
It's clear he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Well, but not forget about the benefit of the doubt. Why not just be officiated the same way that everyone else is?
Well, because there's no reason because there's really no reason for him to do what he did other than stir up bleep. That's it. That's why he did it. Like that was the intended goal of him was to go stand in the crease as Freddie Anderson. And I know he didn't really bump him, but he got into the crease was to stir up stuff, which the referees don't want to deal with. So if that's the only positive you're bringing to this series, we don't want to deal with it.
Right.
Like, Svechnikov's one of their most talented players on Carolina.
What he did was dirty.
Right. Like, if Panarin does that or one of the skill players do it, the referees don't care. Because they understand what it is. But that's Rempe's. I mean, there's no need for it.
I think it was Kevin Weeks on the broadcast last night that said that Svechnikov should have done exactly that.
Exactly what he did?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's because that's from a goalie. Because goalies understand when you're in the kind of zone that Igor is in. That's trying to fluster him, get him off his game. You saw how Igor reacted to it. Because sometimes you get it's the adage of the postseason. Like a hot goalie can carry you to a Stanley Cup, and right now Igor's playing that well.
Is he the best goalie standing right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. Because
this is what I do. I provide.
Swayman's playing really well, too.
Really well.
Really, really well. Ottinger's a really good goalie. But I would say the two right now that stand out as playing the best are Igor and Swayman.
So you could get those two in the next round. Could. I'm not saying you will.
Yeah, and if you do, and I'm Lavi or I'm Pex or I'm Phil Housley, I'm telling my guys the same thing. Or if I'm Trouba, I'm standing up. Fellas, we got to rattle them. Anytime you get a chance to be in his crease, anytime you get a chance to bump behind the net, whatever you can
but
do.
That wasn't a bump or in the crease. That was a dirty play.
But it was behind the net, though. But I'm not. It's different when Svechnikov does it as opposed to when Rempe does it. It's the reality.
Okay.
You can call it not fair or whatever you want to call it. That's how the referees view Rempe. Like, you're here for one reason, to stir up crap.
Right.
And we're not going to let it happen. You coming in late to the crease, it wasn't like he was already standing there. He came in late as the whistle was already blown. They don't want to, I promise you, they do not want to deal with that garbage.
I'm sure they don't. Should that have been a major on Svechnikov or no?
No.
2 minutes is fine?
Yeah.
What are you going to call as a major there, though?
They could have called knee on knee if you wanted. Right? I mean, it could be it's kind of a dangerous play when you stick your leg out. But I don't know if he stuck his leg out. I think he just caught his
intent. I mean, he could have easily avoided him in that situation.
Well, I think he was trying to get his stick initially. Slash at his stick and then caught his foot. But I don't think he was upset that he caught his foot.
I'm sure he wasn't. I'm sure Brendan Moore wasn't upset either. Shooter Stanford. Shooter, bring it today. Come on. What do you got?
Good morning, boys. Good morning, companies. Happy anniversary, Dave.
Thank you.
Congrats. You out-kicked your coverage, the saying is, with Sherry. But way to go.
Thank you.
Way to go. All right. Let's talk Knicks, baby. And by the way, I think they should bring Jay Wright on to be one of the analysts for one of these games. They're bringing Reggie Miller on. Bring Jay Wright. I'd like to hear some Villanova inside chatter from him, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Reggie Miller, and you're right, I'd love to hear from Jay Wright, but Reggie Miller is involved with the broadcast. Jay Wright is not involved with the broadcast.
True, but doesn't he work for TNT?
I don't think so. I think he was doing some CBS stuff.
It'd be nice to see him. I'd love to hear him talk about the boys and just get us all even more pumped up with this connection.
Well, these are his guys, right? It would be entertaining.
Oh, yeah, they're his boys. I met him, by the way. He's an amazing man, handsome, charismatic, good talker. He came to the Bronx to give a basketball clinic. He was amazing. He was amazing. With the Knicks, I think with this injury to Robinson, right? Robinson was kind of compromised as it was. So this sticks to the theme of the Knicks all year, where someone's getting hurt and the boys come off the bench, they step up, it helped develop players. And I think it's just going to continue where now Achiu is going to get his big chance and he's going to step up and play ball. And I think the Knicks are going to be great. Let's go Knicks, baby! Woo!
He's excited.
It was another player that Tibbs trusted, though, that felt comfortable putting out there.
That's right.
Because
you're gonna have to find another guy. Once
we get past Precious now, I mean, he's shown you at least Precious played in that fourth quarter. No one else has played. Like Alec Burks hasn't played.
No, Burks hasn't played. Sims isn't even active. I mean, you're gonna have to do something.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to. I mean, they're gonna have to adjust to this. But I mean, the biggest thing that we were talking about, you know, players coming off the bench or having a bench was, where are we going to get some scoring off the bench? And there's really one guy. It's Deuce, unless you're going to play Alec Burks. Deuce has to play better.
It feels like Burks is not an option.
It doesn't feel like he's an option. Here's the other problem with this whole thing, though, is, I mean, you saw how well the Pacers bench played, right? So, I mean, and now it's not like, hey, we throw out a couple of our bench pieces. We're not worried that, you know, this lead, or if we're down, is going to all of a sudden go from, you know, we're down from 5 to 12, or, you know, if we have an 8-point lead, we throw our bench out, you know, some of our bench guys out there, that they're going to be able to maintain that lead because of how good the Pacers bench is playing. The guys on that bench played better than this. I mean, McConnell played better than Halliburton played.
I think the Knicks got a real break in Rick Carlisle not playing McConnell down the stretch. Because McConnell, it's definitive. In game one, not that he will be long term, in game one was the better option. And they went away from it just because Halliburton's the starter.
Right. I mean, McConnell in 22 minutes was +9. Shepherd was +13. I mean, their bench played really well for them.
Really well. And I mean, it has to be a concern that if this becomes a long, drawn-out series, that, I mean, Indiana has so much more depth than the Knicks do.
At what point do we get worn down? I mean, it hasn't happened yet, so.
Right. So you're 7 games in so far, and you're hoping that it doesn't come back to bite you anytime.
Yeah, and I think you lean on the fact that this is something that we've done all season. This is not like guys that were accustomed to playing, you know, 35 minutes are now being asked to play 45 or 48 minutes. This is what they've done. Right? I mean, that's kind of has to be the thought process here. We're not. This isn't like the first time these guys are doing it. We know how they'll bounce back. They've bounced back every time,
right?
And they bring, like, Josh Hart brings too much to the table to put on the bench. Like, what was his joke? Was there ever a thought of taking Josh Hart out? And he's like, yeah, it was a passing thought.
And then they cannot take him out. The thing is, it's amazing to me that, I mean, an NBA player, Alec Burks is a legitimate NBA player, that he can't play 5 minutes a game. 7 minutes a game. I find it wild.
Well, because who are you putting him in for would be my question. Well,
just, gonna, I mean, just to get Brunson some rest or to get DiVincenzo. I mean, just to get them a breath.
But, I mean, have you seen what the offense looks like without Jalen on the floor?
I get it.
It's where you miss having Julius. Who are you running your offense through?
No one.
Right.
Just hoping to tread water.
At least when you had Julius, I mean, you staggered it the right way. Julius was on the floor still, so he could run the offense through him. He could create his own shot, get his own, you know, they don't have that without him. So all the people that say you don't miss Julius, I think you're crazy.
No, I think you miss Julius. I think that if Julius or Brunson were going to go down, the right one went down.
Of course. Of course. But there are people that are like, no, this is a better team without Julius.
I don't think there's some people that feel like that. I think there's a lot of people that feel like that.
I think if at some point Julius showed you during the postseason what he shows you during the regular season, that wouldn't even be a thought. People just assume that Julius was going to be bad in the postseason because that's what you've seen from him.
Well, right, because you never seen really good Julius Randle in the postseason.
No, and he got hurt last year too, which was right. And ends up getting surgery, but no one cares.
And then the COVID year, he was, I mean, and I get it that he was asked to do too much, but you know what? I mean, Brunson's asked to do too much now, and he's answering the bell.
Different position, though, too.
Sure.
Well, I have a good stat for you, too. I'm glad you're so good.
I'm good.
No, you're great.
But I didn't do anything.
No, but you led me right to what I wanted to say. So how about this one? This is another awesome Jalen Brunson stat. You know what clutch time is, right?
I mean, I know the phrase. I don't know. What is it considered?
All right,
final
so
four minutes of
it's,
the half and game?
It's the final 5 minutes of the fourth or overtime when the score is within 5 points. That's big time. It's clutch time.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the list of most points scored in clutch time this postseason. You ready for it?
Leader, I'm ready.
The leader, most points scored, is the Philadelphia 76ers with 53 clutch time points. The team. 53 clutch time points.
Mm-hmm.
Care to guess who's second?
You're going to tell me it's Brunson by himself?
Oh, Brunson by himself. Jalen Brunson, 43 clutch time points.
43? And the Sixers were 52?
Sixers were 53.
53?
Yeah.
Wow.
How about that?
I mean, because that's what he does. The bigger the moment, the better he's been.
And you saw it in game one. 21 points in the fourth quarter. They had no one to close. We had Jalen Brunson.
And he's that level. I mean, what was the thing yesterday that he was voted or analytics said he was the 15th best player in round one?
Yeah, we had that. ESPN had that.
I mean, that is so stupid.
It's crazy.
If you put all those numbers in a computer and it spits out that Jalen Brunson is the 15th ranked MVP in round one.
You should throw away the numbers.
Don't you just quietly discard those things and never let them publicly be seen?
Right, like if you have some nerd comes to you with an algorithm, right, and he's like, this algorithm is going to tell us who the most valuable players in round one were,
and Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson at 15, don't you tell the nerd, be like, listen, here's the thing, pal, throw it away.
You're fired.
Don't let anybody ever see this.
We're never going to use that again.
Ever.
Yeah.
Have we seen that list, by the way?
Yeah, there was a list. We had the list.
Well, but I mean, who were the 14 above Jalen Brunson?
Some guys that like Anthony Edwards.
Well, no, but that's
Jokic,
but there's no
the
way
list.
They're all Anthony Edwards is.
No, of course not. There's 14 other guys. I'll get the list for you.
Because I got to hear who's on that list that's above Jalen Brunson. He was sensational in round one.
It's going to make you very upset, though.
No, but I think it's going to do two things. I think it's going to make me very upset, and I think it's going to make me laugh.
All right, I have it.
All right, what do you got?
All right, starting from the top. So we're at number one, Nikola Jokic.
Fair.
And Edwards.
Fine.
LeBron.
Okay.
Kyrie, 4.
All right.
Here's where we start to go away. We start to get a little wayward here. Derek White.
Come on.
Well, this is... So I should say that the criteria that goes into this, though, is not simply who are the best players. It basically runs through something where a player's value that they bring across a bunch of different metrics, like equated to their role on the team kind of situation. So it's very complicated. I can explain it to you, but it's not worth getting into.
So one of those articles designed to get you angry.
Okay,
is what you're telling me.
Right. But RJ, I would understand if you're what you're saying. If number one on that list was Derek White or someone like that, you still have Jokic and Anthony Edwards as the top two on that list.
All right, we continue. It's a fair point.
So Derek White's absurd. Go ahead.
Joel Embiid. AD.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Fourth Quarter is three times better than Jalen Brunson. I mean, I'm going to have you stop soon. Continue.
Anthony Davis is 7.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Williams is 8.
Come on.
SGA is 9. Michael Porter Jr. is 10.
Oh, my God.
Tatum, Luka, Harden, and Franz Wagner is 14.
Stop it.
Well, I can stop. We're at 15 now.
Stop it. I mean, James Harden.
No, I think what I said is true. This was designed to get you angry.
I don't think you're right. I think they're like, Eureka! We've developed the perfect algorithm to show you who the better players are in round one of the playoffs. And then they came out with this thing.
So they combine Raptor win shares, which is a
Velociraptor?
Yes. It's a nerdy.
It's an acronym. It's an acronym.
Stat.
I'm not going to tell you what it means. I have no idea.
Player efficiency factors in, things like that.
It's great.
It's very troublesome.
Well, write a letter.
Well, who am I going to write a letter to?
I mean, you already called out the guy that pushed the button to switch to Stars Avs. Before the period was up, so you can add this person.
So wait, hang on a second. You don't have a problem with that?
No, I do. I'm just saying, you're already calling people out, so just add this person to the list, I guess.
Robust algorithm, player tracking, on-off ratings.
Wow.
Raptor.
It's disgusting is what it is.
I mean, where do you think that, this might be being biased, like where do you think Josh Hart should rank on a list like that?
On the Raptor?
That's a good point.
When you talk about what he played every minute, he pretty much plays every minute of the game.
If we're talking about value.
I mean, what are we talking about here? Yeah, I take that algorithm. Whatever nerd brought that the Raptor algorithm, he can go find a new job for me.
It's disgraceful is what it is.
That's gross.
It's disgraceful. That person should be embarrassed.
To answer your question, on playoff Raptor rankings.
And they won the series.
Josh Hart ranks 40th.
Oh, my God.
Right,
I can't. Right, I don't want to continue the conversation. It's just I find it to be upsetting at this point.
Josh Hart ranks 40th, right behind PJ Washington.
No, I'm telling you,
I'm done. I'm stop it. I don't want to do this anymore.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @DR on ESPN.